say, well, we're going to do Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin. Okay, what I wanted to do is I wanted to go through the Sefer, I wanted to go through the practical laws of Muksa. Okay, so I have actually a few Sfarim. I just want to start, and I'll start with the Sefer from Rav Simcha Bunim Kona, the Art Scroll book, Hilchas Muksa, a Practical Guide. This thing is jam-packed, like you can't imagine. The footnotes and the chidushim and the practical applications. Unfortunately, I didn't get very far. I ran out of time, whatever. I'm lazy, that's the truth. I didn't get very far in preparing, so let's just go through, let's just start off today. Hopefully by next week, by next Monday, I'll have more to tell you. But let's just go through some of the things in the introduction. Okay, first of all, like things which are new, things which I think not everything that we're going to learn now, we've learned in the Chayi Adam. The Chayi Adam was a great Hakdama, at least we have become familiar with the basic principles of Muksa, and now we go through some of the practical laws. I think maybe it will come out, it will have much more life. It'll take on a life, much more appreciation for the ideas. First thing is, what is the earliest Makar for Muksa? So we have a tendency to believe that it comes from Nehemia. Okay, it comes from Nehemia. We learned once upon a time, we say from Nehemia. Nehemia, when they went back to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, time Ezra Nehemia, 70 years after Luchim Bayis Rishon, and they came to Eretz Yisrael, Nehemia discovered that people were very, very lax in the laws of Haitzah on Shabbos. People would carry on Shabbos without, in the blink of an eye, without thinking. Shabbos, they would just go take things from their home and out into the street. Now, l'chayra, in the time of Nehemiah, there was no rishus harabim d'oraisa. It cannot possibly be that Yerushalayim at the time of Nehemiah was like New York City. Okay, l'chayra, it's not possible. There was 600,000 people in Mavi Mefulish, all of the conditions that you need, that it should be a rishus harabim. But nevertheless, it's a davar pashut that it is forbidden to go from an area that's miyuchit for a yachid to an area that is designated for a rabbin, that's iser derabbanon of chaitzah and hachnasa. And he saw that people just didn't get it. People, the big problem was intermarriage, of course. That was the major problem, and the majority of Klal Yisrael intermarried. But in addition to intermarriage problem, was a problem of Shabbos. The observance of Shabbos was a major deal, and they were not nizer specifically in the laws of Chaitzah v'Hachnasa. So Nehemiah went to an extreme. He said that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch anything. Okay, we wouldn't survive a day if we were living, if Nehemiah came along today. You're not allowed to touch anything. Don't touch the table. Don't touch, Sedum, you're allowed that. Don't touch the Chumash. There's a Chumash here, right? It's Muksa. You only can touch it if you need it. So be very careful only to move it exactly what you need it for. Once you're finished using it, it's Muksa. Every single thing in your home was Muksa. I mean, can you get more extreme than that? The Gemara says this. The Gemara says this. Where is the Gemara? It comes from Masechta Shabbos. Okay, Masechta Shabbos. I believe Daf Lamed Hey. Okay, Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara talks about Nehemiah. You're not allowed to touch anything. Why? It was for one reason only. In order not, if you'll touch something, you may come to take it with you into the street, into the Rishus Harabim, even though it's only Midrabanan. Nevertheless, Nehemiah said, I don't want, this should not happen. And everyone accepted it. It was accepted. And there were three exceptions. There was only one exception.
It's a takana, right?
It was a takana to save you from being Mechal Shabbos by carrying in the street. Nothing more than that. We're going to go and discuss it in a moment. All the kashi over here, he presents it in Hakdama. But this is really what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the Ikar Makar for Muksa was Nehemiah, the Gemara says, which would seem to indicate that before the time of Nehemiah, during the time of the Bayis Rishon, the entire period of the Nevi'im and the Bayis Rishon, there was no prohibition of Muksa at all. You could do whatever you want. Can you imagine Shabbos? You can touch whatever you want. You can carry whatever you want. There's no prohibition on mukzah. Mukzah first came about, as far as we know, and some of the Nechemiah. And the reason why you're not allowed to touch mukzah is because we do not want you to carry things into the street. Over a period of time, it's clear I don't know the time frame, but people became much more nizer in the laws of Shabbos, and the Rabbanan came along at some point in time, and they said, okay, we're now going to remove the restrictions. We're now going to make life a lot easier for the common man, and many of the laws of Muksa were lifted. And you were allowed to carry things. That's going to be the categories. A kli shemalachdoi leheter can be moved, even for no reason at all. A kli shemalachdoi leiser can be moved. Letzarech gufay umakam. We'll discuss, review all the laws. And a kli, the dove that's also machmas atzmai, you can move v'shas hatchak if it's hefsid. We're going to go into all the various the details of what they, but Chazal came along and they lifted the laws of Muksa.
So this, before the Tarkan of Muksa, if you had scissors, you were allowed to move them.
100%.
As long as you didn't cut anything with it.
Right, that you can't do, because that's the malach of the rice. You can't have a hammer, just don't bang a nail in the wall. But a hammer, you want to move it around, you want to clean, you want to spend the whole day moving or rearranging all of your utensils. Shabbos, you're off from work, it's a great day to clean the house. So you can move everything around in the house. You can move the washing machine from here to there, you can move all your light fixtures, you can move all your tools, whatever you want, you can move. That was before the time of Nechemiah. Along comes Nechemiah, and Nechemiah says, the problem was not people doing malacha. The problem was people were carrying in the street. And in order to prevent them from carrying in the street, he went to an extreme. He went to an extreme that every single thing is muksa. The only exceptions were tableware, whether forks and knives, plates, things that you need for food. That was the only thing which was mutter without any restriction whatsoever. But everything else is asr. The Rabbani came along at a period later on and said people now are very observing the laws of Shabbos, it's not necessary to be so strict, and they lift it. Could you imagine today Rabbanim coming along and being matter things that are usher? Impossible. Different times where the Rabbanim came along and they were matter things that were too difficult for the tzibur. Now here he asks a very fundamental question, and that is, what are you talking about? How could you say that this muksa only came about at the time of Nechemiah, when we have a Ferish Gemara, when David HaMelech died? What happened when David HaMelech died? The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed. I think Daf Lamed. Hey, that's where the Gemara. Wherever the Gemara, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. When David HaMelech died, Shlomo HaMelech came to the Beis Din and said, "I got a problem. My father died, and he died outdoors in the sun, and the funeral is not going to be until tonight, until Mitzvah Shabbos. And in the meantime, the sun is beating down on my father who has died, and it's causing his body to decay." Prematurely to decay and to become foul. So what could I do? He's muksa. A dead body is muksa. What should I do? So the Sanhedrin said, put on your father either a loaf of bread or a child, and then you can move your father, because your father is supporting, is being used to as a tray for something which is mutter. Along this, which we'll learn later on. And then the Gemara comments, you see from this that a Kelef Chai is better than an Ari Nes. David was the king, he was the lion of Klal Yisrael. If you have a dog, and the dog is hungry, you're allowed to move muksa, food that's muksa, directly to feed the dogs. You have a nevela. A nevela is muksa. But if you want to feed the dogs, you're allowed to take the nevela and feed it to the dogs. But nevela is normally muksa. So you see that for a living dog, you can do more things than you can do for a dead lion. That's the Gemara's Agadic comment on that Gemara. But what do you learn from this Gemara? David HaMelech lived before the Bayis Rishon. He lived almost 500 years before Nechemiah. And the Gemara there says explicitly that David, Shlomo HaMelech, said, my father's a muksa. And they had to come on to alumnus of had to be metaltal muksa. So what is going on? So indeed we see that muksa already existed, that Tarkan of muksa already existed in the time of David. So the answer is, there are two types of muksa. There's a muksa of tiltal, and there's a muksa two different types of muksa. Let me read a few of the words inside. Nehemiah's muksa was a muksa. Let me one moment. Here it is. The Issa muksa hoya bimei shlomo harbe koidem Nehemiah. The ayin b'shulchan aruch harav, ke l'shulchan aruch harav, simen shinches, sitiyat zayin, sheh b'zev, zelashoni, avo. Dovar she'enoi roi b'shabes hoya osu l'taltal af bimei David. U'shlomo okodem l'chein. So that's the difference. The difference is muksa always existed only in regard to something that has absolutely no use whatsoever. There was a very, very limited form of muksa that pre-existed our muksa, a dead body. A dead body has absolutely zero use. Zero purpose. Zero use. Therefore, a dead body was muksa in the time of David. And if you'll find something which has absolutely zero use, it's not a utensil, it's not something which the earth, which you can use to cover something that's foul, has no use, you'll find for me an object like that, that was muksa even at the time of the Nevi'im, from the very, very beginning. What Nehemiah was mechadesh is even things which have a use. All different types of use. A kli shemalachtoi leheter. You have a sefer. A sefer has a use, right? It has a permissible use. It's muksa. If you're not planning on this moment of using it, you can't touch it. You can't move it. You just can't move it. I don't want it to be on the table. So what? If you're not going to use it for what you needed to use it for, you can't touch it. Or maybe even worse, I'm not exactly sure how far it went. If you did not designate it before Shabbos that you're going to use it, if before Shabbos began you thought, I'm not going to learn. On Shabbos, I don't learn. On Shabbos, I read the newspaper. I don't learn Svar. Learning is for the week, not for Shabbos. So then the Svar Mamuksa. That is a chiddush of Nehemiah. Before the time of Nehemiah, there was only one type of muksa, something which is inherently an object that has absolutely no use. Okay, so this is the first yisoy that caught my attention in the Hagdama to the laws of muksa here, is to understand the source. There are two different sources. The earliest source we find is David Ushlomo, and the second source, the Gemara that says it was really Nehemiah who invented muksa, and the purpose of muksa was in order not to carry in the street, and that was ultimately rescinded, it was lifted, it was made much, much more lenient because people became observant of Shabbos. It was no longer necessary. But the earlier muksa was a muksa of something which is no use at all. Nehemiah's muksa was expanded to include anything that exists, period. Now, next yesoy. Is muksa an iser de'oraisa or iser de'rabbanan? We have a tendency to assume that it's purely an iser de'rabbanan. The truth, though, is that the mefarshim, you always throw around the pasuk v'hechinu es asher yaviu. Now that was said in reference to the man. The man, you were told to go out on Friday and to go and prepare a double portion of man for Shabbos. But Chazal extrapolated and they use this pasuk as nasmach notari, that this is a halacha, that the only thing that you're allowed to use on Shabbos is something which has been muchan, has been prepared. If it's not muchan, it is called muksa. And they want to suggest, many of the Rishonim want to suggest, you see from this pasuk is used as nasmachta, that it's pretty much in Isser de'oraisa. Can you say it's part of the Tayak Mitzvos? Not necessarily. Just because something is not part of the Tayak Mitzvos does not mean that it's not Osama Torah. There are different levels of Averos, of what the severity of an Avera. So how do we reconcile this assumption that Muksa is purely a Derabbanan?
Was the Muksa of the Man Shabbos?
It wasn't Muksa. The Man Shabbos is not Muksa. It's not Muksa, but the Pasuk is used as an Asmachta. It says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said that for Shabbos you have to prepare the Man. V'hechinu es asher yaviu. This Pasuk has been lifted from its context by Chazal to use as a source to teach you that for Shabbos, just like man, the man was prepared for Shabbos, likewise, everything that you want to use on Shabbos must be prepared, must be designated. If it was not designated, automatically it's muksa. Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Welcome, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. Welcome back. Welcome to America.
Canadian visitor.
So this is v'yechinu eis asher yivir. So how do we reconcile to? So here we have a new principle, a new fastening principle given by the Rishonim. There are two different types of violation of muksa. There is the usage of muksa, and there is the tiltul of muksa. If you have an object that's muksa, and you use it, you have violated an Isser Deraisa, or pretty much an Isser Deraisa. An egg, noilat, a chicken lays an egg on Shabbos. It's muksa. That's the ultimate muksa. If I take that egg and I eat it, can't cook it, okay, people who like to eat raw eggs, you're a chazan and you want to prepare yourself for davening, and you take the egg that was laid Shabbos morning, the egg is muksa. What did I do with it? I used it. That is an Isser Deraisa. This egg was not prepared for your use before Shabbos. I use it, you violate an Isser Deraisa. If I take the egg and I move it, it's in my way, and I move it from here to here, even if it's not in the whatever, I move from here to here, tiltal movement, that is what we are familiar with, that tiltal looks as only midrabbanan. Okay, so this is principle number two, a difference between using muksa. Let's say, for example, you'll have a klisha malachta, like a candle. Okay, well, I'll give you, we'll discuss a candle. There are different types of things which are, a candle has no use for anything permissible at all. You don't use candles. What do you use candles for? Do you use candles for anything other than lighting candles? Over here in the book he says no. There's no such thing as using a candle for a permissible purpose. A hammer, you use sometimes for permissible purposes, to break nuts. Right. Even that, but you want to open up a key, you'll take a hammer. We all know that. That sometimes you take a hammer to do something which is not necessarily necessary.
You use a candle to eat.
A candle to eat? No. But loy daita eitzel koladan. People, the average person will never, you're going to discuss in a few moments. But so let's say I take a candle, and I use it for something. I actually do something very bizarre. I use it, like you said, I use it as chopsticks, right? I use the candle, I have like Hanukkah candles, right? You have the Hanukkah candles, and I use the Hanukkah candles as chopsticks to eat my sushi on Shabbos. So if you use your Hanukkah candles as chopsticks to eat sushi, you violate an Isser Deraisa. Isn't that amazing? That's what it says here, because using muksa, something that is inherently muksa, it's not set aside for this purpose on Shabbos, and you use it, and don't tell me it's not like a hammer. Candles are not like a hammer. It's worse than a hammer. I'll show you one moment why. And you use it, you have benefited from muksa on Shabbos as an Isser Deraisa of Yechinu Eis Asher Yaviu.
But you make Nishinoy on it.
What?
Maybe this had to be because you make Nishinoy. It's not better to use it that way.
So what? You used it. You have derived benefit. You have derived benefit from an object that is inherently muksa. This is v'echinu eis asher yaviu. This is a type of muksa that's deraisa. On the other, if I take the Hanukkah candles and I move it from here to here for no reason whatsoever, that's not a deraisa. That is only an isser midrabban of tiltul muksa that was enacted by Nehemiah. Okay, this is yisoid number two. Now let's go to yisoid number three. The Rambam says something which everyone jumps on the Rambam. We actually, this to us is very familiar, but it's not. Everyone challenges. Where did the Rambam get this from? The Rambam says the reason why muksa is aser is because Chazal did not want you to do a malacha. The reason why they told you don't move a hammer is because they will let you move a hammer. Once the hammer is in my hand, I might as well knock in a nail. There's a loose nail on the wall, so once I'm already taking the hammer from here to there, I might as well, you'll forget that it's Shabbos, you'll knock in nails. Once I'm going to move candles, you know, it's a little bit dark here, I'll come and I'll light the candles. If we're going to allow you to be metaltal objects, which are normally used for averos, which is not permitted on Shabbos, you may come to do the malacha. What the Rambam says does not say this anywhere else. Does not say this. This is not Nehemiah. Nehemiah was for the purpose of Shabbos, not to come to carry on Shabbos. And Shlomo HaMelech, there was an issue that the object, the dead body has no use. It's not that we don't find there any hint to come and do a malacha deraisa. They just wanted to prevent the body from decaying. This is a chiddush of the Rambam. which seemingly is only he's coming to explain when the time of Nehemiah, when they lift, you have to go back to the source, when the Chazal decided that since people today are observant and they're not coming to carry from their homes into the Rosh Hasharabim, so therefore we can already lift the laws of Muksa. So why didn't Chazal go all the way and completely obliterate the laws of Muksa entirely? Why did they still keep in place certain laws of Muksa? So the Rambam is saying the Rabbanan in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they did lift the laws of Muksa, they did keep in place certain laws for a different reason. Because it makes a lot of sense. Once the Rabbanan lifted Muksa because people were observant of Shabbos, they were knowledgeable that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos from your home into the street, so that should lift everything. Everything should become mutter. When only things which have no purpose whatsoever, like David HaMelech and Shlomo with the dead body, that already we understand. But other things, it should be mutter legarmi. The Rambam is coming to explain why Chazal did keep in play a kli shemalachta liyisr, a muksamach maschasar and kis, muksamach mas atzmoy, all of these laws, because these are things which a person may still come to do a malacha, and that is still a very big problem. Now there's another reason given by the Rishonim, and that's because of the pasuk also in Nehemiah, mimoytze chefsecha midaber davar, an entirely different reason. The person should differentiate, the person should not, it's an element of Kedusha Shabbos. A person should focus on the day. Now this is a positive element to Muksa. Until right now, we've been focusing on negative elements of Shabbos. This is not set aside for Shabbos. This thing is no use whatsoever. Or, don't come to do a Molocha Deraisa. Even if a person would not come to a Molocha Deraisa, even if a person would not come to carry in the street, even something which is not an object that has no purpose, Chazal said, we still don't want you to touch it, to move it, because we want to free up your mind to think about Shabbos. Today is Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're supposed to take advantage and use the day for Davar Shabbat Kedusha, to learn, to daven, to sing Zmiros, to enjoy, be Misanig in the Shabbos. If you are going to be allowed to move things around which are useful, and you're not, even though you're not going to come to Michal Shabbos, and you're not going to come to carry in the street, but you know what you're going to spend your whole Shabbos doing? Rearranging the furniture. Okay, the whole Shabbos, you'll sit home, rearrange the furniture, you'll dedicate the day to doing things. You're not going to be able to dwell upon Kedusha Shabbos. This comes from, I think, was this from Yeshaya? So there's not Nechemiah, this is from Yeshaya. So therefore, this means that Yeshaya already way ahead of Nehemiah. Yeshaya lived in the middle of the Bayis Rishon, way of Nehemiah. He already recognized that there is a new element of Muksa. Now, we don't know if they actually observed this Muksa. It doesn't say anywhere. We have no record whatsoever if they observed the laws of Muksa on top of Yeshaya. Or not. But this is a new element which was added into the mix of why we have Muksa. A person has to have positive thoughts about Shabbos. You have to remove distractions. That's the Iker of life, is to remove. Shalom Aleichem, Rayevsky, welcome back. Being worried about you, I know I got your message. You have to remove from your life distractions. This ties, you know, very nicely into the tefillah of the Chazon Ish. What's the tefillah of the Chazon Ish? It's a very popular tefillah. The Chazon Ish composed a tefillah which many women recite when they light Hadlokas Neiros. They recite this tefillah on behalf of their children. So what would you think the tefillah says? You would think that Hashem should give my children siyata d'shmai, they should be yirei shmai, they should be go'inim, tzadikim, and they should do all the mitzvahs, and Hashem should just send down a beam of kedusha into their heads to make them into super spiritual people. It doesn't say any of that. The Chazon Ish says, Ribbono Shel'Olam, please, just remove from my children the distractions of life. There is no positive request. No request. Beam me down. Beam down Kedusha. Please just remove from my children distractions. There's so many distractions in school, at home, here and there, technology and this and that. If only the distractions would be put at bay, Mimela, it's only natural that all of the positive things that we give our children, they will absorb and they will integrate into their lives and they'll become great people. You don't need more than that. You don't need brachas and segulas and hocus pocus. All you need is just get rid of the distractions and the neila. This is the tool the Chazon Ish composed that women should say, but people have adapted it, they say this for the children when they light Shabbos candles. It's amazing, because what the Chazon Ish says is really, according to Yeshaya HaNavi, the essence of Shabbos. What is Shabbos all about? When Shabbos, the woman lights candles, what comes into play now? Muksa comes into play. What is Muksa? Am I going to carry in the street? No, I live in Flatbush. We don't hold of the air. I'm not going to carry in the street. Am I going to bang a nail into the wall? Not me. I've left everything. I don't even know the difference between my right and my left hand. I have no skills whatsoever. So there's no carrying. There's no being mechal Shabbos. And everything in my home is not really inherently, everything has a purpose. Muksa, in time of Nehemiah, in time of David and Shlomo, as we discussed, was objects which are inherently useless. So I don't have that in my home. Everything in my home has a use. So what's the muksa practically for us today? What's the muksa practically for us today? Remove the distractions. On Shabbos, I can't touch pretty much anything. So what am I going to do? There's nothing else to do but to open a siddur and daven, or open a sefer and learn, or to focus on Shabbos, to have a suda Shabbos, and speak the Divrei Torah. Remove the distractions. Isn't that so? It's very interesting is that the Nusach HaTfilah that became very popular among Noshim, they light Shabbos candles, really is exactly what Shabbos is, the way we follow, we celebrate Shabbos in a very practical way with the laws of Muksa. Because the other ideas of Muksa that we presented are not all that practical for most of us. But the removing of the distractions, that's a very powerful idea. And this is the essence of the Muksa from Yeshaya. There is one more reason of Muksa. This is very hard for us in this generation to understand, because we don't have these type of people. People who do nothing the whole week. The unemployed. The unemployed.
How long?
Well, today you're not allowed to say unemployed. You say he's in between jobs or not yet employed. Not allowed to say unemployed. People in between jobs, so people, it seems in time of Chazal, there were groups of people who had, that there was almost no difference between what they did on Shabbos and Chol. It was so how do you differentiate between Shabbos and Chol? So there was a need to inject into their lives a difference. And the way to differentiate between Shabbos and Chol is that on Chol you don't move around certain things. So that's a different. On Shabbos you don't move. You don't not metalkal muksa. Okay, that's a svara. Okay, that doesn't really resonate. Okay, that's a svara. We shouldn't say that. So bottom line, this is really the hakdama. So bottom line, let's review what we have done over here. The first muksa is David and Shlomo. David and Shlomo is the first makar we find in history that is something called muksa. Nehemiah is really Yeshaya really is the second. Discuss the timeline of muksa. David or Shlomo, David has died. Shlomo comes to Beis Medrash. My father is muksa. Wow. The first reference, muksa. I take it back. Let's go back. I'm sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu. Hechinu eis asher yaviu. Let's, timeline. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'hechinu eis asher yaviu." Mud. Only go and bring. You only can eat on Shabbos what you prepare erev Shabbos. Chazal have extrapolated. They have lifted that pasuk from its context to teach you a principle in Minat Torah, in Isser D'Oraisa. On Shabbos, you only can use something which has been prepared. How do we apply the halacha l'maisa? What does that mean? Where is the Isser D'Oraisa of muksa usage? Eating an egg that has been laid on Shabbos, using an object that has no purpose whatsoever, if you actually use it, usage, you're touching upon an Isser D'Oraisa of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yachinu Eis Asher Yaviu. Next muksa. What's the next muksa we find? We find the tiltul muksa. Tiltul, now we're not going from usage, we're going to movement. Number two comes from David HaMelech in his death. When David HaMelech died, the first thing David was Mechadish. See, Gedolim Tzadikim B'Misasin B'Chayim. Tzadikim never really die. The moment that David HaMelech died, already we knew a new halacha. The moment that he died, he was Mechadish a new halacha, the halacha of Muksa. Shlomo HaMelech comes to the Beis Medrash. My father died. He's lying in the sun. The sun is causing his body to decay. What should I do? Move it! I can't! He's Muksa! Muksa? Whoever told you there's something called Muksa? Muksa mandekar shimei. Ve'achinu es asher yaviyu? That means don't eat the egg. It doesn't mean don't move the egg. Where do you get Muksa? A new halacha. Muksa. You're not allowed to be metallic of something which has absolutely zero use. Zero use. If you have use, a hammer has use. A washing machine has use. Furniture has, anything has use. So therefore, even though I can't use it on Shabbos, but I can move it because it has use. Or has earth. Earth also has use. I can use it to go and cover dirt, to settle the dust. Even though it's not a kli, it has a use. But a dead body has no use. So here we learn the new muksa called something that has absolutely no use. This was a muksa that existed already in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So we have two types of muksa: the mishtamesh with something which has no use, and moving something which has mishtamesh with something which we would call that was not set aside, even though it does have a use. It was not set aside for Shabbos, using it. And number two is moving something which has absolutely no use whatsoever. Then we come to Yeshaya, number three. Fast forward about 250 years to the time of David HaMelech, you come to Yeshaya, a new thing. You gotta be positive about Shabbos, a new enactment. On Shabbos, you have to remove distractions. Remove mimoitzi chefsecha umidaber davar. Mimoitzi chefsecha means don't go and do your private activities on Shabbos. Don't move things from location to location. Mimoitzi chefsecha, that's a chazal term of the pasuk. Don't move things about that are not for the purpose of Shabbos. Why? Remove distractions. A new idea of muksa. What are the parameters? It's not clear at all what the parameters were. And when Yeshaya said those words, and if people were actually practicing what he said, how do they apply it in their life? It's not all clear, but at least he, at that point in time, he introduced a new concept. Then we go fast forward another 250 years to the time of Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. What does he see? He sees massive Chil Shabbos, specifically in regard to Hoitzah, carrying in the street on Shabbos. Some say that Rav Moshe was mamish, a Gilgal of Nehemiah. I don't say a Gilgal, Rav Moshe Feinstein. It bothered him to no end, the Chil Shabbos in America. When he came to America, Jews were just completely oblivious to Shabbos Kodesh. And one of the main, Rav Moshe must have taken for cue from Nehemiah. Nehemiah came to Eretz Yisrael with the Jews. Shabbos was nothing. And what, Nehemiah went wild? How could you Shabbos? People are carrying in the street on Shabbos, even though in the street was only some of the Rabbanan. Muksa! You can't touch anything! Zero! An extreme version of muksa, because if you're going to touch something on Shabbos, you're going to end up carrying out into the streets. This was what Nehemiah was saying, the extreme muksa. Now we fast forward, how many years? I don't know. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdola was probably by his end of the Bayis Sheni. You want to go fast forward 400 years? I don't know when this happened. The Rabbanan said, Klal Yisrael is doing very well. They know what Shabbos is. They're very well aware of what Shabbos is, and there's no longer a need for us to be so machmir in the laws of Shabbos. We're going to lift all the laws of muksa. The Rambam comes along, and the Rambam is explaining what Chazal did. The Rambam is saying a chiddush awesome with his mamish no makar for this. The Rambam is explaining that if Chazal really wanted to be oiked the laws of Nehemiah, they would have uprooted everything. And they would have left it basically with the laws of what you have from Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yachinu Hashem Yoviyu, Hishtamshus, eating the egg, and they would leave it with what Yeshaya said, with the David and Shlomo was saying has no use whatsoever, but they would leave it with what was some version of what Yeshaya said. But why do we still find still so many additional restrictions? So the Rambam says the reason why the Rabban did not lift everything back to its original form is because if we let you go and touch your hammer on Shabbos, you may come to bang in a nail. A whole new time of why the Rabbanim were not so quick to lift all the rules of Muksa.
That's the Siyag.
That's a Chiddush. That's a new thing which took place much, much later in history, in Jewish history. And then we have another time, which I'm not exactly sure the Rabbanim, which L'Chayim is also in this time of the Rambam, the Rishayim also. Another reason why the Rabbanim did not lift every single law of Muksa, restored to what it was from the earlier times, is because there are people who don't work. There are people who are retired, they don't work, and therefore there has to be in their mind a difference between Shabbos and Chol, and therefore there are certain laws of Muksa which must remain in place. This, pretty much in a nutshell, is the Hakdama of Simcha Bunim Kohn from the footnotes and what he says in the top. I find it to be very, very, you know, very beautiful, a timeline understanding the entire history of Muksa, all the Mekoros, the Raisa, the Rabbanon, Meshtamshus, Tiltul, with Nechemia, the lifting of Nechemia's Takana, but the Rambam explanation of why certain things are kept in place, and the difference between there should be a difference between people people should know the difference between Shabbos and Chol who do not work. Okay, now let's just touch upon some of the laws of Muksa. Let's get something more practical. When everything is said and done, there are definite laws of Muksa. Okay, but there are certain things that Chazal were very, very careful to mention are mutter 100% without any restriction whatsoever. Three things fall into this category. Number one are Sifrei Kodesh. A Sefer is not Muksa, a Kihu Zeh. Okay, you have Nechemia, the time of Nechemia was Asa. As I mentioned before, the time of Nechemia, you cannot touch a sinner. A sitter's on the table,
unless
don't touch it.
Unless
you appear beforehand. You appear before it, and then you only touch it when you're davening. And when you finish davening, stay away. Don't touch it. Oh, I want to put it back on the shelf. No, you can't put it back on the shelf. You can't touch it. It's muksa. You may come to take it into the streets. You can't touch it. That was lifted. When it comes, halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh, Sidurim, Chumashim, Sifrei Kodesh, even Nevi'im, Uksuvim, in the Aron HaKodesh, Megillas Esther, Megill, if you want to practice, there is absolutely no Muksa on Kisvei Kodesh. Now, a mezuzah is different, because a mezuzah is not meant for reading. A mezuzah is an achefesh on the mitzvah. The mezuzah, that's not called Kisvei Kodesh. That we have to be careful not to get carried away. But any sefer that's meant for learning, and even a Megillah, Megillah Sester, is a Kisvei Kodesh. There is absolutely no restriction. You can move from place to place with any wish whatsoever. Number two, food. Time of Nechemia, food was muksa. Shocking. In time of Nechemia, if you did not prepare the food, and it's not a sakana, you want snacks on Shabbos, and it's not, it wasn't prepared before Shabbos, and it wasn't, you don't need it, it'll be better not to have the snacks, much healthier. The food is muksa! You can't touch the food! That was lifted. Food is mutter legamri, even expensive food that you set aside for merchandise. If you have a business, you sell chocolates, you sell mishloach manos, you sell food, food is never ever muksa under any condition. Okay, that's number two. And number three, and this is never muksa, not even top of Nechemia, tableware. Tableware, anything that you have on the table, fork, a knife, a spoon, a plate, a cup, anything along those lines, it's never muksa. You can move it around without any restriction whatsoever. These are the three categories.
Yashaber had a problem with that.
What?
Yashaber had a problem with that.
With what? What?
Silverware.
That is. Should
he
we
said you can't play with it. You sit at your table.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the food, you start playing around with it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, says you're not allowed to do that. It's muksa.
Okay, I don't know. All right, we have to go why. We have to see why. He said that. Okay, but all right. This one it says over here, it says it's Shulchan Aruch. It says maybe the different types of silverware. I don't know. So this is different. These are the three exceptions. Now, let's just go a little further. A kli, now we go in different categories. A kli, shemalachtoi lehet. Now let's discuss things which are not in those three categories. Kalim, a utensil. Utensil, shemalachtoi lehet. So what would be a good example of a kli, shemalachtoi lehet? Let's think of a good example. A chair. Okay, a chair. A chair is a kli, shemalachtoi lehet. A chair is a utensil. No question about it. it comes in contact with tumah becomes tumah. A table is a kli shel malachim. And aren't Shabbos allowed to move around a chair? It's very key. He cites here the example when you're talking to someone, so you're talking to them in conversation, and you're standing by the table. It's very common. You're touching the chair. Like you're playing with the chair. I'm talking to you, and I'm touching the chair, and I'm just like moving the chair back and forth. Right, you're talking to someone, so now you want to just move it around for no reason. You're fine, you're standing, you're talking. A chair or a table is called a kli shemalachdoi leheder. So the rule is, you can move a kli shemalachdoi leheder only for a purpose. You're not allowed to move a kli shemalachdoi leheder for no purpose whatsoever.
So he was saying with the silverware, it's the same thing.
No, silverware is better. You can use for no purpose. A silverware is an exception. Tableware was an exception even in the time of Nehemiah. Tableware is removed from any element of muksa whatsoever. You can be misaseg, move around forks, knives, bowls, and cups. Even for no reason whatsoever, it was never ever included whatsoever in the rules of muksa. That's that. Even the time of Nehemiah wasn't included.
Is a step below silverware?
Step above. It's more chamor than silverware. For example, a chair and a table. Our chair and a table is the kabbalish shachta. You can move it around, but you have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason for moving it around. Now you'll say, you know, we live in a world where we need fidget spinners. That somehow it disappeared, right? It came and went. Came and gone. Came and gone. The fidget spinners, right? Isn't it amazing? A fidget spinner, what do you do? Just to keep your mind occupied. So the person needs to move the chair in order to keep, it's like a fidget spinner. So that's mutter. That's also mutter. But if you're not talking to your fellow man, I'm not talking to him now, I'm just standing here, and for no reason whatsoever, just to move around the chair, you don't do that. A kli shemalachta leheter can only be moved for a purpose, some purpose, any purpose. Any purpose in the world. I don't want it to get stolen, I don't want it, I need it in this place, I want to use it, or it makes me, I want the house to be in order, I want the house to look nice, so if someone comes in, it should look nice. I want there to be order. Everything should be in its, everything al mekomoy, everything should be in its place. Good. If you can find in your mind a purpose, even a ridiculous purpose, for moving it, it's mutter. But if you have no purpose,
but every time you move it, you're moving it for a purpose.
Not necessarily. Think about it. Not necessarily. You think you pay attention on Shabbos when you do on Shabbos.
Be close to the table.
Okay, that's a purpose. That's a purpose. But let's say you walk into the room and everything is fine and good, and just people do strange things.
Aesthetic.
No, that's also good. Aesthetics is also a purpose. It's also a purpose. But people, it seems that we don't really take it seriously because, like we say, we always convince ourselves that we're doing it for a purpose. And it's true, and that's probably true 99% of the time. But if you will find the case where purpose has no... The example he gives over here, I don't remember exactly what he says. When you're talking to a person by the table, and there's a chair in front of you, why are you harassing the chair? Why are you shaking the chair when you're talking to your fellow man?
A lot of people do this.
Right, so why? So the average will say, no, I need this. It's an outlet of my emotion. It's my mental health. It's necessary for me to do this. But if you can say to yourself, this is ridiculous. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Why am I shaking the chair when I'm talking to my friend? Why am I moving it back and forth? It doesn't make any sense. I don't need to do this. So, muksa. It's a kli shemalachta leheter, and it's not so simple that you should be doing it for a purpose. You should be moving it. Okay, now let's just do one last thing and we'll stop. A kli shemalachta leisser. Now, we'll stop with this. There are two types of kelim shemalachta leisser. This is a very big chiddush. It's a very big chumrah, and not everyone agrees to what I'm about to tell you. That's what he says here in the footnotes. He quotes all the sources, and a person like Chazal should be machmer. There's a kli shemalachta leisser, which, like hammer, we'll do the example that we did before. A hammer versus a candle. What do you use a hammer? What's the primary function of a hammer?
To build.
To bang nails, building. Building is an issur d'oraisa. What is the primary purpose of a candle? Havar, fire. Do you ever use a hammer for permissible purposes? Absolutely. Absolutely, even if you're not cracking nuts. Everyone knows nutcracker, but even not unless you're not a nut person. Okay? Let's say you'll find, you'll always find people having the home a hammer. You'll find yourself
tap a jar.
You'll find yourself at some point in time at home taking a hammer and using it for something which is not in the category of doing malacha on Shabbos. This is a reality. Therefore, this is kli shemalachli yisr, category number one. Then there's a kli shemalachli yisr which you, the average person, we're not talking about people that do bizarre things, the average person will only use it for its intended purpose. And that, he says here, is a candle. People only use candles for lighting candles. You don't see people using candles to stir pots. You don't see people using candle, the thin Hanukkah long candles, as chopsticks to eat sushi. You don't see people using candles to as paperweights. They don't do that. That's not what it's used for. That,
but some candles are like decoration. You know, people burn candles, you know, for the good smell.
Aroma candles. So those candles. So what are the?
That's cool. You can't burn it.
Okay, but you only
use it with fire.
You only use it. You have to light it.
You have to light it. So it's also clear. You have to light it.
What candles? I mean, not that I would do it on Shabbos. You can't open a window a lot of times. And if you rub the wax along the, you know, the lining of the window.
I never heard this before.
Yeah.
How many times in your life have you done that?
Twice at least. And it works.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But he says, very chiddush. Never heard this before. That a kli shemalachta li iser, that's only used exclusively for iser, does not have the leniencies of mutter. Machmas gufay oy mekayma. Now, in this example, gufay is not very bad, but let's say it's on the table. You come home on the dining room table. You left Hanukkah candles and Shabbos, and you want it now. It happens. You're running to shul, running mincha, and you light the candles, and then you lift up a Hanukkah candle on the table. And now you come home from shul, and it's in the way. It's on the. So you would say it's a candle is a kli. It's in the kli shemalach the liyaser. I want to use the table to put it down a setting to eat. It's mutter l'tzorech mekoymoi. Isn't that what the average person would say, the average rabbi would say? He says, no, not so simple. Not so simple. Because this is a different category, kli shemalach the liyaser. No one ever uses candles for anything other than iser. So this is in the category of a kli, it's muksa machmas atzma. It's a kli shemalach the liyaser, which has a higher status of chumrah, and you're not letting move it. You're not allowed to move it, even letzarech mekaymai. Now, by the way, the problem with muksa is there's always a solution. So just don't move it with your, pick it up, you move it with your elbow. You can move it with your elbow, but you can't pick it up in a normal way. That's a very big chumrah. He cites here in the footnotes, Simcha Bunim Kong, that this is a machlokes rishonim. If there is such a category called a kli shemalach deli iser that's never used for anything, some hold, like I just told you, that it's usser, and some hold that no, it's in the regular category, kli shemalach deli iser, it's mut l'tzorech mekoymoi, and you can move it. And he cites the place that say, if you can be machmir, use your elbow, and if shas hadchak, where using your elbow is not practical because it's delicate, whatever the situation is, there's ground to be lenient. You can indeed be lenient, true, like a classic cliche, shemalach doyli yisr. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll take a short break, and then we'll learn some halakhic inyanim on the parsha.